Amen. 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 We're getting ourselves situated. There's always some kind of technical thing that gets in the way, but that's not going to stop us from enjoying the Lord today. Amen. 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 I got people coming through the door. Come on in. Have a seat. For those of you, let's remember, since this is winter time, when we come on through the door, hallelujah, let's feel the warmth of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Welcome to everybody who is here. Welcome to everybody who is on Facebook and YouTube. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Church. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's shake off what? All that stuff that gets in the way. So whether we're in here or we are at home, we are able to celebrate the Lord. Amen. 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 This is our communion Sunday. We're going to get that started in a moment. But I want to open us up with a prayer. And then we're going to ask our sister Leah to come up here and bless us with a song. Amen. 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 If we could all stand. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for opening the doors of the church and making a way for us to come through those doors or to connect online. Lord, that the word that you have set forth and prepared for us to hear is available unto us. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, because you took us through 2024. Despite all that happened, you brought us through. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we can look back now and even look at the COVID times and realize how much you brought us through. Hallelujah. How you still provided for our families. How you still watched over our children. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for always having a word ready for us. And thank you for allowing us to get in your presence. Lord, this year, hallelujah, let us trust you more. Lord, this year, hallelujah, help our unbelief and increase our faith. Lord, this year, hallelujah, anoint us to see the directions you have for us. That we would not walk around blindly, but instead would be led by the Spirit to accomplish the will of our Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for we know, hallelujah, being here is because of you. Lord, that you would get the glory out of this service because there are more than two or three gathered in your name. Come sit next to us. Let us feel the warmth of your love and your presence as we hear your preached word. Anoint our pastor this morning that the word that you have written and placed in and on his heart would come out aboundingly, that we would be edified and that you would be glorified. Oh, we thank you, oh Lord, for this is your day and you, hallelujah, would get the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. With that, I'm going to call up Sister Reed. She is going to sing for us. Amen. 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 So we're gonna have a little bit different with the order. We're gonna start the communion first, and then I will bring up Sister Leah, okay? Amen. So first we're gonna have our scripture reading by our Deacon Tyrone. Amen. Then we will have our confession of faith. And finally we will have prayer over the sacraments by our Reverend Radcliffe. Amen.
Good morning, church. This morning we'll be reading 1 Corinthians 11, 18 to 34. For I received from the Lord what I had also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup, the Lord is unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of this bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discernment, the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regards of ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in the way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and my sisters, we gather to eat. You shall all eat together. Anyone who is hungry shall eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may be a result. It may not result in judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. If everyone can stand, please. I'm going to read our confession of faith, and I ask that you repeat after me. And as we're reading it, let's think about the words, right? Because we want to be in a right frame to take communion. Amen? Amen. Repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. 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 With that, I'm going to call up Reverend Radcliffe. He is going to pray over the sacraments.
God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your Son that you gave us. As we stand this morning, forgive us of our sins, anything that's not like you. We ask you to bless these sacraments. The cracker we eat represents your broken body. Lord, the juice that we drink represents your shed blood. In the name of Jesus, this is our prayer this morning. You said in your word, as often as we do this in the remembrance of you. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Now. Amen.
Hallelujah. As we worship together and singing, knowing that the blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubt and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountains. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. One more time, it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it will never lose its power. It will never lose. Is power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, and God bless you. You may be seated. Good morning and Happy New Year to all of you. I was unable to be with you on last Sunday, so this is the first me in the new year, so I wanted to start by saying that. I also wanted to start by saying thank you to everyone who provided a Christmas gift, either to myself or to my wife or to my family. I just wanted to thank you for your generosity. Lord knows you didn't have to do that, but I'm grateful that you did. So I wanted to say that. Thank you to everyone for blessing us. Amen. And then I also wanted to give a special thank you in advance to all of our men today who have cooked and prepared and have labored over the stove, the grill, and for the brothers who just went to the supermarket and bought something. But thank God for your contribution to our fellowship dinner that'll take place after our morning worship. Thank you for joining with me, as one of the things I'm hopeful to do in the coming year is to put a bit of focus on men's health. You heard me talk about it during the holiday season, but in 2025, I want to talk or put a little focus on men's health. And when we say men's health, we're talking our spiritual health. We're talking about our physical health, our mental and emotional health, as well as our financial health. Amen. And so we want to be able to do that in the coming year to help all of us, not just as men's, but to help us as women and as our families, so that we can be able to do the best we can for Christ. Amen. And so we think, so that's what we're doing today. We're starting off communion, our fellowship dinner. We want to focus on men's health. So glad today that joining us will be Dr. Eddie Graham. He's coming, and he's going to just really share his testimony about his health journey, if you will. And so we thank God for him. Also, David Craig is en route. He called me as well. David Craig, as you know, is our gardener, him and Lynn. He's going to be sharing some information with us when we get upstairs, as well as making a contribution to our potluck dinner. And so, again, all of this activity centered around men's health in the coming year. Amen. Just to help us realize that as men, we have to do better. Amen. We have to do better in terms of our health so that we can do all that Christ has called us to do. Amen. And so while all the men have made a contribution to the meal, I just wanted to make this note that I shared with Sister Melissa last night. We're going to ask all the teenage guys, so all you teenagers, the guys, not the ladies, you guys are going to be serving this afternoon when we get upstairs. So you guys can't just bum rush the table and get a big plate and take all the food and we don't have nothing left. You guys will be behind. You guys will serve. And after everyone serves, you guys can do that. That way the men cook, the young guys serve, and our ladies are blessed. Amen. So good. That's just some editorial stuff I just wanted to get out the way. And this last thing, they've been announcing it, and I just wanted to add my voice to it before the end of the service. If you can join me on this Saturday, we're going to be preaching the closing to a revival over at Faith and Love Worship Center. So if you're able to join us, you heard the announcement, it'll be this Saturday. It'll be 10 a.m. up in Mount Airy. And it's going to be a great time. They're having they're going into revival, and we're coming just to add and help them close it out. So if you're able to join me, that will be fantastic. Amen. Okay, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Okay. So you got that? 1 Corinthians 6:19. And then we're going to add to the witness, and that's going to be 3 John, verses 1 and 2. Okay? So again, did my slide make it, Josh? Is that cool? Good man. So 1 Corinthians 6, 3 John, verse 2. And as you have it, I am going to invite you to stand with me. And so I'm going to work out of verses 19 and 20, right? That's what I'm going to work today. But to keep it in context, I'm going to begin at verse 12, right? Because this is all a continuous thought in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, okay? So I want to read it in context. I'm just going to focus on 19 and 20. Is that fair? So if you're at 1 Corinthians, let's start at 12. That way, yeah, open that door. I think that, okay, however you do it. Yeah. Don't leave them out in the cold. Good night. If somebody knock on the church door, you ought to let them in, right? You may not let them into your home, but let them into the church. All right, so here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Just going to flow it down. 19 and 20 is what we're going to work out of, okay? Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Let the church say. Did you hear what he said? He said, all things are lawful, but all things are not helpful, right? You don't have to try everything. Some stuff just ain't helpful for you, right? But like I said, I'm not fooling. Not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Scripture says, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. 19 is what we're going to be working out of. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Let's jump over to the witness. 3 John. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul does prosper. That's how he opened his letter to his dear friend, He said, I pray that you prosper in all things and in health, just as your soul does prosper. Amen. So this morning, I want to use for a subject right out of Paul's letter, glorify God in your body and spirit. You with me on that? Glorify God in your body and spirit. Okay? Let us pray. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. And Lord, this Sunday morning, here at the outset, the dawn of another new year, we thank you for the privilege given to us that we might join in the global praise that is due unto our God, that we might lift our voice, clap our hands, stomp our feet, in some way use our body to glorify you. Because your name is worthy. All of the earth, all of heaven bows down before you. The angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And so, Lord, again, we thank you for the privilege that you have given to us, that we might lift our voice and sing to you and tell of your goodness and to preach your gospel so that you are glorified both in earth and in heaven. And so now that we've come together here in this place, in this appointed hour, grace us with your presence. Allow your power and your potency to be felt in us and through us, that our soul might once again burn as the Spirit of God stirs us by the wayside. That after this encounter, we might be changed and made better for your glory. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. So John, in his letter to his friend Gaius, says, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. John's prayer for Gaius is significant. Gaius's spiritual state was so excellent that John prayed that his physical health would match his spiritual health. You follow me on that? He prayed that his physical health match his spiritual health. That's what he prayed for, that he be in good health. The question today for all of us is, how is your health? How's your health spiritually? How is your health physically? Because God cares about both. Are you with me this Sunday? God cares about, you read Matthew, the fourth chapter, down in and around there, 23, 24, somewhere around there. Shortly as he goes out and he launches his ministry, but somewhere in there, the text says, and he went all throughout the region, healing them, sick, infirmed. He just laid and he healed them. He physically healed them. Even as he was spiritually healing them through the words he spoke. Right? He healed them physically. Why? Because he's concerned about your what? Physical health. Right? And so we see John in his love for Gaius simply following the example of Christ for those that followed him. Right? He had a desire that they be in better health. Right? Giving blind people sight. Those demonically possessed, casting them out. The lame, he was enabling them to walk again. Right? Why? Because he was concerned about their health. Are you with me? Look at somebody and tell me, God is concerned about your health. And I want to make that point because oftentimes when it comes to our spiritual well-being and our life in the body of Christ, oftentimes we disassociate our physical health from our spiritual health. And we don't see the two as being related. We think that's two separate things. That our spiritual health is just prayer and the word of God and that. And what we do in our physical health, well, that doesn't really matter. But the truth is, it does matter. Okay? So as we're going to look at this, that's what I want to lift up. Okay? Because I'm not here as a health professional or a doctor or I'm here as your pastor, a spiritual advocate telling you that your physical health matters. Are you with me? Okay. Your physical health matters. So the question today is, how is your health? Both physically and mentally. Both physically and spiritually. So look, let's dig into this. In the interest of time, I got to get down the road here. So again, I'm just going to work out a 19 and 20, right? It's going to go right to the target, not going to fool around. So Paul says, as he's concluding this particular part of his letter to the church, this is his conclusion. He's now, he done said all, we done read 12 all the way down, right? Where he's talking about sexual immorality. Now he's 19, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That word temple and its meaning or place within the context of Paul's letter, a temple is literally a house for God. It's what that meaning, temple, when used in a biblical setting, it is a house, a sanctuary, or a dwelling place for God. Do you not know that your body is the dwelling place, the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit right? Temple is literally a house of or for God. That word temple represents a holy place set apart from the rest of the entire world. Right? A holy place set apart from the rest of the entire world. If you read the scriptures, the temple was a separate place, a special place, right? You just didn't roll up on the temple. You know, you only went to the temple when you had business at the temple. You only went to the temple at the designated days and time for worship and for sacrifice, right? They kept it, even though it was in the midst of the tribes of Israel, it was still separate and distinct, right? And they treated it with the utmost care. Are you with me? One of the things that I get great joy out of being your pastor is that when folks come to our church, and you do realize this, that every church is known for something, right? By design. That's what he gives freely. And so every church is known for something. Some churches are known for singing. Some churches are known for great preachers. Great, I mean, everybody. The ushers preach. The deacon, I mean, they just got an anointing. Everybody preaches, you know what I'm saying? And so one of the things that has made me so proud as a pastor, and it didn't just start with me, it started with Dr. Taylor and Matriarch, all of them, was that our church has always been known for our hospitality and cleanliness. We've always been known for that. That's just what we were known for, right? That if you go tell it, the people are going to greet you warm, the church is going to be nice, and that's just what we've been known for. One of the things, you know, along with having a great spirit of prayer and some other things. And so that great hospitality and the way we care for the house of God, we've been known for that. Years ago, I used to host a pastor's group, and they would move around from the various churches, and they would always say, Pastor Ford, we want to come to you in December because we know how your church is going to look, because they love coming here and seeing all the decorations and all the upstairs, and so grateful for Sister Melissa, who's helping us. She's heading hospitality, but her mom had it, you know, she had it before, and Sister Cassandra and Mary and Rat, what you guys are seeing here, this is every year, it's nothing to us. It's every year, because it's just in us to do it. We're not trying to impress nobody or do anything. So when people come, they go, oh, Pastor, I just love the church. They love how it looks. They love how it smells. We had one pastor, one group came, and the church mother came, and I was helping her up the steps because she was of age, and she came through that side door where they were knocking, and as soon as she came in, this is what she put one foot up on the step. This is what she said. She said, there's women in this church. She didn't say hello, God bless you, Pastor. I'm trying to help her so she don't, because she's feeble. She put that foot up, and then she said, yeah, there's women in this church. Right? What? Because of the care that had gone. She could sense it. She could tell it. You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because it is the house of God. I'll tell you one of the greatest things that was ever told to me as a young pastor. Someone told me, they said, look, hey, as you begin to take care of and look after the upkeep of the church, they said, just one thing, listen to me. And do well by it. He said, before you ask anybody to help with the upkeep or maintenance of the church, he said, go by their house first. He said, make up a reason. Tell them you're coming by to pray for them or put oil on them or to take them a turkey. But your real mission is to look at how they care for their own house. He said, that will be your best clue as to how well they will take care of God's house. I wish I had a dollar for every person that has ever asked me, Pastor, how can I help in the church? And I don't, and by help, I mean help with the maintenance and upkeep of the church. If I had a dollar, I'd be a millionaire. And you see how many people we get to help? Because oftentimes I got to tell folks, no, thank you. And Lord knows we need the help. But how many of you know all help is not good help? All help is not good help. Right? Paul just told you what? Not all things are helpful for me. Right? And so when you look at that, you get a sense of, because if they don't take care of their house, which they live in all week long, what gives you any confidence that they'll take care of God's house, which we only visit once, twice, three times out of the week? You follow what I'm saying? So this temple, this dwelling place, which for the Israelite children was sacred and holy and treated with special care. Right? You read all of that back up there, Exodus and Numbers. And I mean, they went overboard with following the instructions that God gave them for how they were to treat the temple. Right? Because as you study your Bible, what you become to realize, what the temple was in the natural for the children of Israel was a reflection of Christ in the spiritual. That's what he is, right? And so they had to treat it a certain way, because even though they didn't realize it, they were forecasting how Christ was to be treated, right? God was trying to teach his people, you have to handle my presence with care, right? Can't be done any kind of way, however you want, whenever you want, right? Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Literally the dwelling place for God. So the question, right? Question number one we ask, how is your health, right? Understanding that because of John's letter to Gaius, we understand the inquiry is both about your spiritual and physical health, right? And now, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The question is, are you taking care of God's house? Well, Pastor, you just told me I couldn't help. Yeah, you can't help with this house, but you can help with your house. And by your house, you got to stay with me. I'm not talking about your address at 103 in Park. That's not the house I'm talking about. The house I'm talking about is your temple, your dwelling place, the sanctuary where the Spirit of God wants to dwell. Are you with me? Are you making the connection? Right? This Sunday we're talking about what? Glorify God in what? In your body and spirit. And we need help, because all too often we disassociate the two. We make the false assumption that our physical health doesn't matter to God. But it does. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. Your body, temple of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, who, the Holy Spirit, is in you, whom you have from God. Temple, dwelling place. Now, we get it when we look at the temple, because all last month, I was preaching about what? Listen to the angels, right? And that first sermon in that series, we listened to what the angel said to Zacharias. And what we noted about Zacharias being a high priest, he only got to serve in the most holy place once in a lifetime. That's all he got. He served his entire life, and only once did the lot fall to him to be the high priest to enter, right? And represent the people for God. And so the whole, he goes and he's in the holy place that what? He hears from God. And I kept telling you all last month, I said what? Find a place, right? Find a place that you reserve exclusively for you and God. Well, while you're finding a place for God, your office, the kitchen table, the bay, wherever, where you can have fellowship, God is also looking for a place. And that place is in you. That's what Paul's saying. Whom the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. Let me just take this detour, because this is where I went in my study. I just want to, it captivated my thinking. So you guys are familiar. Philip asked of Jesus, he said, show us the Father. That's what he said. They're hanging out with Jesus. They're in ministry. They're going preaching all around. So one morning, they're at a diner in Jerusalem. And over eggs and, well, I was going to say bacon, but, you know, they wouldn't have eaten bacon. They would have had some. Me, I'd have had scrapple. I prefer scrapple over bacon. And that's part of the reason my health is like this. Well, whatever. Like I said, I went sideways. Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus said, Philip, how long have I been with you guys? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. And I understand the difficulty Philip has in grappling with that statement. Because he said, well, is God 5'10"? Does he have this kind of hair? Right? He was trying to, but what Jesus was trying to point out to him is that, and for him, his story is different than ours. It wasn't that God was with him. He was God, right? As John so eloquently tells us, right, in the beginning. But that the glory of God was literally covered by his physical flesh. And what he was trying to point out to Philip, his disciples, and everyone else is that you should get a sense of who I am, even though it is veiled, you should still see it or get a sense of it by the works I do. Right? He said, you're not, yeah, I am the Father. He said, but you can't see the Father, even though he's in me, because my hands and arms, and all they are covering him. So you can't see him directly, right? But you should sense that he's in me, right, by the work. The Bible says this of Jesus' preaching. No man ever preached like him. Isn't that Mark says? There's never a man. Out of all the, they never preached like, that should give you a sense that what? Something was different about this guy, right? The thief on the cross said, look, I deserve to be up here. This guy doesn't deserve, there's something different about him, right? And so we got that. So he's in him, can't see him directly, but we see him through his works, his miracle, his healings. Then I juxtapose that against the transfiguration, where the three amigos, Peter, James, they go up with him. And if you look at that story, where is that? Matthew 17, if you didn't know, the transfiguration, that these three guys are given the privilege of seeing what Philip asked for.
Philip said, show us the Father. Right? Jesus' response was like, you've already seen the Father, not directly, but through the works that, because the only way I can do the works I'm doing, save the Father, what? Be in me. I couldn't do it if God wasn't living in me. Right? Philip wanted to see him like, I see you, you see me. He never got that privilege. He saw him indirectly, but Peter, James, and John got to see him directly. You read the Transfiguration. They're there. They fall asleep. But when they awaken, they see Jesus Christ with the glory of God visibly on display. Are you with me? Here it is. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before, I mean, he physically changed, right? His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. They literally saw what Philip was asking to see. They saw a physical manifestation of the glory of God fall on Jesus. That's what they saw. Can you imagine that? I know we all want to see God, but the reality is what? We can't handle seeing God, right? Because the witness tells us that. Moses tell God, he said, we can't go up and fight until I know you with us. He said, let me see your glory. Let me know before we go into this battle and get slaughtered. Let me know your, he said, look, he needed to encourage Moses' faith. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I can't let you see my face because that would destroy you. But what I can do, I'll hide you over here in the mountain. I'll walk past you, I'll cover your eyes, and then as I'm leaving, I'll let you see the hinder parts of my glory. Because that's about the best you can handle. Can you follow what I'm saying? So, Pastor, where are you going with all this? Your body is the temple, dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, who is in you. Sometimes, and I'll speak for myself here personally, I don't live believing that God is in me. That he literally dwells, takes up residence inside of me. I don't know about you. Maybe you do. I don't. But even though I don't, that does not make Paul's statement false. The presence of the Lord is still residing inside of us. If you just get that out of the sermon, that'll bless you. Imagine living your life knowing God is in you. Not just on Sundays. Not just midweek for Bible study and prayer. Not just for Sunday morning. But every day God is dwelling in his temple, which is your body, and is ever present. Again, just let that sink in. The ramifications of that being true. Are you with me? Okay. There it is. I'm not going forward. That's it. You got that. He said, now here he is. He's getting down to it. Then Paul says, you are not your own. Your body is a dwelling place. And the presence, nature, power, all of God is literally inside of you. And the reason it is so, or not the reason, but because it is so, Paul tells the Corinthian church, you are not your own. Now, I don't know how they do it now. More and more I talk to my sons, I realize how old I am. An old fogey stogie. So I don't know how the young kids rock it out now. But when I was young, and you're trying to holler at the sisters, here was a typical response from the sister. This is what the sisters would say. They would say, leave me alone. Because you are not my daddy. That's what they would tell. Meaning, you look what they were saying. What they were saying was, you don't have authority over me. Susan, I do what I want to do. If I want to go to the party with this other guy, guess what? I'm going. Because what? You're not my father. Only my father can tell me you're not going. And I got to come sub. That's my dad. My dad said I ain't going. I'm not going. My dad said I can't go to the movies. Guess what? I'm not going to the movies. Why? Because my dad has authority over me. Now, all their life, well, they fight against that authority, but that was the reality. Sometimes they told me that just tell me to beat it. you ain't my daddy. Say, you don't have authority over me. You can't tell me what to do. Do what I want. Go where I want. See who I want. Right? But as it comes to our physical bodies, it's the dwelling place of God. Paul tells us that your physical body is no longer your own. Are you looking at this? Everybody look at it and read it in the text. You guys looking at me like I'm making stuff up. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know you're by the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. A Christian's body belongs to the Lord. Did you hear what I said? We read verse 13. I'll just circle back. It says in verse 13, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. He created and gave you your body so that he could live inside of you. Right? So regardless of what you may think or believe, your body is not your own. Are you with me? Here it is. A Christian's body is also a member of Christ's body. Right? That's verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So we, being many members, are yet what? One body in Christ Jesus? Right? Your body's not your own. A Christian's body is the temple, sanctuary, or dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Right? Your body is not your own. And this is just about right. This is what I anticipated the response would be from a Christian audience. Because I told you at the beginning, what? Oftentimes, we disassociate our spiritual well-being from our physical well-being. And as long as I pray, I can eat what I want, smoke what I want, drink what I want. Why? Because that is not connected to my spiritual well-being. Right? But look at somebody and tell them the devil is a lie. Right? Because Paul concludes this writing by saying what? Glorify God in what? Your body and your spirit. And I always told you, we got Dr. Graham here, but I always told you, you learn good if you get good math. And means what? Both sides of the equation must be true. He didn't say glorify God in your body or your spirit. He said glorify God in your body and your. So in order to really glorify God, your spiritual man must be well fed. And your physical man must be well fed. Like Gaius, your spiritual man must be at an excellent state. And in like manner, your physical man must also be in an excellent state. Somebody shout yes. Look at somebody and say you're not your own. You don't have authority over your own body. Again, I anticipated the response. But I'm so glad Paul kept writing. Look what Paul says. He says, do you not know? No, he said, verse 20, for you were bought with a price. Your body was, your physical man, your spiritual man was bought with a price. Here it is. He purchased you and I from the slave markets of sin. Look at somebody tell you, he bought with a price. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but you were redeemed from your aimless conduct, which you received from the tradition of your, you act the way you do because that's the way your parents act. But he said, no, you were bought with a price and you were redeemed not with corruptible things. He said, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When the Hebrews came to the temple and they brought their sacrifices to offer as worship, not only was God clear about how you protected and handled the temple, He was clear about what you brought to the temple. And if you brought a lamb to the temple for sacrifice, it had to be a first lamb. It had to be a lamb without spot, blemish, or any malfunction. Because God requires your best. Look at somebody and say, give God your best. Malachi picks it up and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves when you bring to God lambs that you don't want, lambs that are crippled, lambs that are maimed, and offer it unto God. He said, shame on you, because God requires your best. Look at somebody and tell them, give God your best. We used to sing a song in the old church. But Dr. Graham's here. He remembers. He's from the old church. We used to sing, I know it was the blood. for me. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood. He paid for me, not with silver or gold, not with money or Bitcoin. Preach, Pastor Ford, preach. But he brought me out of the slave market of sin with his own blood. That's why I know it was the blood for that's why he has a right to your body. Because he offered up his body for you. So you owe him your body for God. Are you with me? Here it is. I'm finished. He said, you were bought with a price. So now he said, look, I'm finished. He says, therefore. They teach you in preaching school, anytime you see the word therefore, you got to look and see what it's there for. So he says, therefore, here it is. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. Listen, and actually you can get excited off that, but here's the real, this is what seals the deal. Look what it says. Which are God's. Are you reading this? Glorify God in your body and spirit. He says, both of which are God's. No longer can we disassociate our spiritual well-being from our physical well-being. So you guys know Jackson's being recruited to play football. So all these coaches are coming. They want them to come to their school. So coaches were over the house all this week, every night, coming in. So one of the schools, one of the coaches, this is what they were telling us about their school, their program. One of the things they said, we give our athletes these aura rings. So if you're familiar with aura rings and that technology and all that, it monitors and tracks your sleep. Every guy in the football program has got an aura ring. So every morning, the coaches get a report of how many hours the players slept last night. Get a report, player. The aura reports back to how many hours you slept last night. Because they have learned from their medical team that the human body requires a minimum of 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Watch this. To be productive. They said anything less than that, no matter what they do that day, it will be less than their best. They can't do their best. Why? They haven't got the required minimum hours. So they already know before the 6 a.m. lift, this guy is going to be sluggish. I can look at the report. He only slept 3 hours last night. 2 hours, 1.5 hours. And now you want to come in and work out. Now you want to come in and try to be perform, and you're unable to be at your best. And they was like, Mr. and Mrs. Ford, it's not only the education they're going to get, not only they're going to get to play, become. He said, we're going to teach these guys how to take care of their bodies so that no matter what they do, sport or no sport, but as they go forward in life, they will have been taught how to take care of their bodies in such a way that whoever they're working for or for themselves, that each day they can give their best. We're going to teach them how to eat right. Teach them how to sleep right. Teach them how to train right so that what? They can give their best. We do it here at the program because only the best will do. Here it is. How much more are we ought to be for God? Does God not deserve our best? And if he does, why do we deprive or misuse or abuse our own bodies, which we now know through the word of God, is not our own, but belongs to him. So why do we consistently fail to give God our best? And all I'm trying to get you to see is that there is a connection. That's what John was trying to point out to Gaius. There's a connection between your spiritual health and your physical health. John said, I pray that you prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul, he said, as your spirit man goes up, your physical man should go up. Because you need both to glorify God. You hear what I'm saying? You need both. For what God is calling you to do, man of God, woman of God, put that stuff down. Stop living that way. Don't eat fried chicken every night. That's to me. That's not to y'all. That's me preaching to me. Why? Because my physical health matters to God. Because if we're going to properly glorify him, we need to be at our best. Do you hear what I'm saying? Here it is. I'm finished with it. Paul says in conclusion, bought with the blood of Jesus, glorify your body. He said, glorify means to praise or honor someone or something to extreme degree. I would say it this way. Glorify simply means to give someone or something your very best. That's what it means. To glorify God is when you give God your very best. And these football guys, I don't know if they're saved or not, but they were on, they got the right point. In order to give your best on the field on Saturdays, you have to get the proper sleep Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You got to eat right all before so that when God calls you, you're ready to give God your best. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. In order to give your best, you must be at your best. In your mind, mentally. In your body, physically. And in your soul, spiritually. Look at somebody and tell them, give God your best. Come on, help me preach it out. I'm done. Give God your best. Here you go. Use your good preaching voice. Say this to him. Give God your very best. Because when you give God your very best, that's when you glorify God, both in your body and in your spirit. Look at somebody and say, give God glory. Come on, men. My focus is on my men. Here it is. I'm closing out. Men, God needs us at our very best. Men, our wives need us at our very best. We love better. We take care better when we are at our very best. Men, our sons, our daughters need us at our very best. Men, our parents need us now that they're up in age, now that they can't do for themselves. They need us at our very best. Our community needs us at our very best. We don't need outside help. All we need is our men at their very best. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Come on, Taylor. Give the Lord your best praise. Give him your best. Your best. Your very woo! I gotta eat better. Sleep better. So I can pray better. Preach better. Teach better. I owe God my very. My church needs me at my very. Woo! I got to do better. I got to get rid of this high blood pressure. I got to come off these prescriptions because I owe God my very. Woo! I could do more. I could go further if I was at my very. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your health matters to God. It matters. It matters to your family. It matters to your friends. It matters to your community. It matters to your church. Woo! Lord, help me today. 2025, I'm going to do better. I'm going to get better because God deserves my very.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I owe him my best. If I were better, I could pray better. I could pray longer. I could fast longer. I could praise him more. If I was at my... Woo! That's how I'm starting the new year. That's what I'm going after in 2025. I made up my mind. This year, I'm going to give God my very. It's the only way I can glorify God in my body and in my spirit is to give him my very. And every time we come around the Lord's table, raise your hand if you don't have a sacrament. I know some came in late, so make sure you have a sacrament. But every time we come around the Lord's table, it should be a reminder to us to give God our very best. Why? Because he gave us his very best. He comes up out of the muddy waters of Jordan. John said, the heavens opened up. And God said, the God that Philip wanted to see, this is my beloved son, the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. He wanted everybody in the world to know that God gave. He gave his very best. So every time we come around the Lord's table, so every time we take the bread up in our hands and break it and bless it, before you eat, just remember, God gave us his very best. If you believe that, shall we all eat together? Not only did God give his best, his son gave his best. He didn't give silver or gold or any other corruptible thing. The Bible tells us he offered up himself a living sacrifice. According to the Old Testament commandments, look, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The Bible said he was without sin and there was no guile found in his mouth. God gave his best. And in like manner, his son gave his best. And if you believe that, shall we all drink together?
So in conclusion, my prayer for you in the coming year is your spiritual father. My prayer is simply this, that you prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul does prosper. God bless you, Taylor. In this coming year, take care of your health. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Did we pray for a good word before we started this morning? Didn't we receive a good word? Amen. Amen. Something that edified us. But I would be remiss if I don't ask if there's someone in here who is not saved and is seeking salvation. We have to acknowledge first that we are a sinner. Amen. Amen. And the scripture tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believeth in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Confession and believing. And if you are seeking salvation, just come see me. Or come see Minister Lyons or Minister Radcliffe right here, right after service, so we can pray with you and talk to you. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I'm going to keep the service moving. But if you have questions, if you wonder, if you're seeking salvation, you said, I've heard about Lord Jesus, but I want to know more. We're going to be right up here, right at the end of the service. Amen? And just come on up and see us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now with that, I've got a transition. Oh, I'm losing my drummer before my drum roll. I guess I got to do it myself. It's offering time. Amen. I'm going to make Brother Joshua stay. When he sees me, he's going to go, I can't leave until the drum roll comes for the offering time. Amen. Amen. So with that, I am going to call up Sister Kennedy. She is going to take us through our offering. Amen. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by the U.S. mail, postal mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link with and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One for your tithe/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at jonathan-ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. Amen. So we go from offering time to announcement time. And the good part about announcement time is, as we've heard the preacher, right, about our health, is there a future doctor in the house? Is there a future doctor in the house? Sister Deanna is going to come up and give us our announcements. The doctor in the house. Amen? Amen.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. For our upcoming event, Saturday 1/18 at 10 a.m., Pastor Ford is asking all members to join him at Faith and Love Worship Center for the conclusion of their Fresh Fire Revival. The address is Faith and Love Worship Center, 8032 Thurn Avenue, Philadelphia, PA 19150, and their bishop is Harry Pendleton, Senior Pastor. On February 16th, we will have a special guest and presentation for Black History Month, Amy Jane Cohen, educator, historian, and writer. She is a writer, speaker, and educator who explores the hidden histories of Philadelphia's Black history and beyond. On every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study are at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9:30 via Google Meets every second through fifth Sundays. And don't forget Pastor's Why I Lead Challenge.
That's all. Amen. Amen. The pastor's going to come out and give us a benediction and final thoughts. Amen.
So I told you we have a special treat today and that we have a special guest, my brother and my friend Eddie Graham. So one, to give you some context or some flavor, Ed is the older brother to Patty Graham, or Patty Muir, as many of you would know, from Tridestone. And all of my young life, I grew up looking up to Ed, and look, with him and my brother Jamie, they run about the same age. So that was that group. When they grew up and they got to do whatever first, because they were always the oldest and all that good old stuff. And so I've known, he has known me all of my life. And, so that's the connection, just so you know. So if you didn't know, you could have that. And just to give you some context here, graduate of Germantown High School, that's where Jamie went to, a graduate of Penn State University, right? So we're all weeping a little bit this Sunday, you know, right? Thursday night is a faded memory now. But while he was there, he was a member of the Penn State football team and was a walk-on. Meaning that he didn't have scholarship. He went out there and earned his scholarship when he got there. And I asked him, for all the young guys, to wear his Fiesta Bowl ring. So he was there not the last time because they just won recently, but before that when Penn State won the Fiesta Bowl. So if you guys be nice to him, he might let you see his ring and all that good stuff. So he's all that. And if you Google him, you look at him on LinkedIn, he was the mayor. He was the president of the NCAACP, the Cheltenham branch. He was the mayor of Springfield County. You know what I mean? He's the real deal. You know what I mean? He's the real deal. And I already knew that. I'm telling you guys that so you know that. But so this is how we get to be here today. So last Saturday, I do what I do every morning, but including Saturday. I get up early and I have tea with honey and lemon and I sit down and I watch the news to see what's going on, what the weather's going to be while I'm drinking my tea. Then after that, on a Saturday morning, that's often when I go back into my office and I begin to write my sermon. That's my quiet time. I just get settled, get in the right frame of mind and space. So I'm sitting on the sofa. I'm watching Action News, right? Last Saturday, you can Google it. It's on this website. This is what comes on while I'm watching the news and drinking my green tea with spicy honey and lemon. Good, let it roll, Josh.
But it also has big benefits for emotional health, as we learn in this